teachers for allowing me to get up here and bring a lesson. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all for coming out, and I hope y'all have had a great afternoon. And the lesson I want to talk about tonight is man's role in the home. Now, in the beginning, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so he created woman. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there is not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" God has given us guidelines to govern conduct in the physical family, just as he has the spiritual family, the church. We are to study the Word of God to know our role in the physical family, whether it be husband, wife, parent, or child. As Christ is the head of the church, he is to be the head of every physical family, and his will should guide them in all things. And this lesson will focus on the role of the man in the family as husband and father. First, we'll talk about the role of man as husband. He is to lead father and mother. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6, and said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Leaving that relationship in favor of another has many implications. He leaves the headship of his parents to head his own family, to be the head of his own family. He also leaves the financial support of his parents, of his family, to provide for his own. Also, in Matthew 19, verses 5 through 6, it says he is to be joined to his wife. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." His wife is to be his highest earthly loyalty, and he is to live for her and to think of her and please her before his parents. When we join together, we become united. God has joined husband and wife together. They are to become one flesh. The godly husband sticks with his wife in and through all things. You know, and part of the marriage vows that people hear, you know, it usually says, for better or worse, there's going to be some trying times and there's going to be some good times. And the husband is to stick with his wife for better or worse. Also, he is to be the head of his wife. In Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." Proper leadership is needed in every family. Therefore, the husband must live up to his God-given responsibility. He is to be head of his wife as Christ is head of the church. His headship must be exercised in love, in humility, and consideration of his wife and her needs before himself and his own needs. The husband does not need to be a tyrant nor a dictator. His wife is not to be a slave and bow down before him. We always need to put her needs in front of ours and make sure that we're being the husband and leading her the way that God wants us to lead. Also, he is to honor his wife. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir to the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. We are to live with our wives in an understanding way. Many wives are taken for granted. Peter's instructions suggest respect, esteem, and honor. She is to be honored as the weaker vessel. Some may believe this has reference to the physical weakness of the woman in comparison to the man. I think a better explanation is that she is to be honored like a fine piece of china. You know, you want to take care of china, they're precious. You bring them out at, you know, for holidays and stuff, and you want to handle it delicately. She is to be honored because she is a fellow heir of the grace of life. I also said that so that one's prayers may not be hindered. She's also to be honored because she has honored you, honored her husband. Of all the men that she could have chosen to marry, to spend her life with, she chose you. The husband is also to live with his wife with understanding. In 1 Peter 3:7, we just read, where it says, their husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, as husbands, we may not ever completely understand our wives and her way of thinking, and that is not what is commanded here. The understanding the husband must have is that of the marriage relationship and his God-given responsibilities toward his wife in that relationship. He is to provide for the needs of his wife. He needs to provide for her physical needs. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. For sexual needs, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 4, now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise, also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. We are also to provide for the emotional needs of our wives. And the husband understands the link between the emotional and the sexual needs, and we'll see that the emotional needs of his wife are satisfied. We need to provide for her intellectual needs. The husband will engage in conversation with her and provide opportunities for her to develop her intellectual abilities. And also her spiritual needs. There is nothing better complements the efforts of a wife trying to serve the Lord than a faithful husband doing the same. The husband is to truly love his wife. The husband's love for his wife when compared in Ephesians 5 to Christ's love for the church shows it to be sacrificial. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. It is to be preeminent. In Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. And they are to be truly caring. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Next, I want to talk about the role of man as a father. A man who is a father is to provide for, to love, to teach, and to discipline his children. Providing for, in 1 Timothy 5:8, says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is worse than an unbeliever. They are to teach, to see that his children develop in all areas in which Jesus developed, which is wisdom, stature, and favor with men and God. In Luke 2, verse 52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, so that children will be brought up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Also, so that his children will have a solid foundation on which to build their lives. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And father is also to discipline his children. And we need to follow the example of the Lord. In Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The father who loves his children disciplines them promptly. In Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. He is not to withhold correction. In Proverbs 23:13, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. The man is to be the spiritual leader of the home. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Also in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And we need to follow the example of Joshua. In Joshua 24:15, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We also have another example in Cornelius in Acts 10:2. He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. This is a must for one who would serve as leader of God's people. In 1 Timothy 3:5, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? We need to be able to manage our own house before we can come in here and be able to take care of the church and lead the church the way that God wants it. And as he did with Eli, God will judge all those who neglect this responsibility. 1 Samuel 3:13. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. So in conclusion, when husbands fail to honor their wives, joyfully live with them, and be joined to them, they endanger the most fundamental and intimate relationship God designed for mankind. In Ecclesiastes 9:9, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. And when fathers neglect to fulfill their responsibilities to their children, they have neglected a sacred responsibility that can have eternal consequences. Maybe tonight you're not a Christian. That's the first step you need to take, is to be able to, if you want to lead your children spiritually and your wife spiritually, you need to become a Christian. And those steps are laid out for us in the plan, in God's plan of salvation. And they are, first you must hear the word in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Then you must believe in Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Next, you must repent in Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you must confess in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Then you must be baptized. You must be immersed in the water. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't end there. That's actually just the beginning of your journey as a Christian. You need to remain faithful. In Revelations 2:10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And that's the lesson for tonight. So if anybody needs to become a Christian or needs to get their self right with God, I want y'all to come together and be standing and sing.